When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot, and another episode of my One Shot host audition. I'm Renee Roth, she, her, and I'll be playing your host and storyteller for today. We're continuing Anemon Story by Zach Barrow today, and I won't keep you long here in the intro because I'm excited to get into it. After all, our players have their best friends and a world they must defend. So, let's get back to the world of Anemon Story.
Say something. What do you mean?
Archangel just kind of settles on the corner of the bed and says, yeah, so that dream you had earlier just kind of, I don't know, it's like a, what would you call it, a red flag a little bit? Yeah, a red flag.
What kind of red flag?
Yeah, like the red flag with the guys my sister tried to date? Is that what you mean?
Or like a physical flag we can wave around?
The flag of the workers' revolution?
Flag that Anemon may recognize and kind of makes eye contact with Borkifer, who just nods, and Glamtron keeps kind of spinning. Sarnir pauses for a moment before reluctantly nodding as well. And Archangel goes on. If you had a dream like the one that first connected you to an Anemon, it leads me, us, to believe that something may be happening in the homeworld of the Anemon, which you would call dreams.
Oh, well.
The problem's not here, it's on the other side?
If Anemon are going missing, Borkifer adds, maybe.
Wow. So, like, we have to help.
Glamtron says, if we were to help, it would need to be a secret.
Why is that?
From like Max's capital overlords?
They're all of our capital overlords. Max, being completely oversensitive, does not want to be blamed for capitalism. Just because he's made you aware of it.
Yes, those, but also friends, family. It should be, the Anemon homeworld should be kept a secret. I would need an affirmative from each of you to keep this promise in order to share more.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Max turns to Sorinir. Look, you're important to me. I can make you this promise, but I need you to promise in return that you're going to be honest. We can't help if we don't know what's going on.
Sorinir stares at you for a long time, blinks, and gives a slow nod.
Okay. Okay, I promise to.
Okay, I mean, as long as I think that's okay. That's a really big lie, though.
Wait, and Kemba like looks at Minerva again, and looks at Max, and just kind of whispers, "Is she gonna be safe? She's like a little kid."
Oh, do you mean Alaska and Max?
Yeah.
Alaska
and Max. I would kind of whisper it. I think like a stage whisper, so Minnie can definitely hear it. But it's kind of like, is she going to be saved? This sounds like a big deal. And they're like, they're kind of a little kid.
I'm not that little.
Minnie is like the future of youth. So I'm pretty sure whatever she does will be incredible.
And like, you can't all go save the world if I also know this stuff. Because, like, then you've already broken the promise that I know this stuff when I shouldn't. So I'm already here.
Although we do need Max's say-so, because Max is the one that has to bring Minnie back home.
Minnie, you know that you're supposed to stay safe, but I'm also supposed to watch you.
Yeah, so, like, I should go with you so that I can help and you can watch me and neither of us will get in trouble with Mom.
Excellent logic for someone with such a low logic.
I mean, it's always the same excuses, I think. It's just the same set of, like, this scenario has happened several times over where, like, Max is like, I'm going to go do this thing. You shouldn't come along with me. He's like, but wait.
But Mom said.
I think Max, like, is really caught in this moment. It has to look back to the life-changing advice that he received from someone that he's afraid to call a friend because he can lose friends. I've been thinking about it a lot, and if it got to a point where, you know, there was a confrontation and that goes too far and Max needs to be pulled back, I think the thing that Akimba must have said to him is, who are you protecting? Because I think Max jumps in to defend someone and then the conflict goes so far that that person runs away. Then Max isn't protecting someone anymore. So, like, applying this logic, Max has what is essentially a trolley problem in front of him, in that if he is going to do what his mom said and look after Minnie, and he doesn't want Minnie to get involved in this, then he has to not be involved, which means Alaska and Akimba are alone facing whatever. And if he goes, then Minnie has to come with him and then therefore gets involved. So is he going to defend just Minnie, or is he going to try and defend everyone? And the only solution, of course, is to go and just look after Minnie if she's coming with. I have to go, which means, Minnie, you have to stay by my side.
And I think that she looks up and the beret, like, slips down over her eyes at that point, and she says to, like, she just knocks it back up. Yeah, got it. Got to be with you and be with Akimba and Alaska, and we'll save the day.
Okay. Yeah. Just don't get into any trouble, okay? Leave that to me.
So, like, before we kind of 100% go into another world that we don't really know anything about, I have been holding on to this, they're really, like, fancy pieces of plastic, and I think that if we all have a piece that can bring us back home, it would be really important. And what I'm saying is, and Alaska kind of goes into a pocket, pulls out some candy wrappers, a couple of, like, eraser nibs, and then finally pulls out four friendship bracelets that are just, like, beads and, like, the letters best friends forever. And then, like, there's some colors that would probably be applicable to anybody's color palette. Max, I know you probably think that this isn't the most fashionable, and because I did have to spend money on the beads, I made sure that your beads also came from something else that I took apart, so, like, it's less capitalistic. And,
Alaska,
she'll hand you.
I appreciate the thought, but I can't wear this. It would be two lies.
two lies.
I already have a best friend, he says, looking off into the distance, and the air conditioning in the room is just enough to make his scarf flap.
Absolutely.
And
so, like,
I already know that can't be forever.
Oh. Could I amend yours? I could just, like, untie it and take out some of the letters so it could just say best friend for now. Or friend for now. We can just, like, get rid of the best entirely.
Max looks at Alaska very seriously. I can tell that you want to make a gesture here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to turn your gestures away, but I also can't be dishonest with you.
So you're going to turn my gesture away?
How about if you amend it, it just says for now?
Yeah, give me a few more seconds. Where is Glamtron? Can you, I know you don't like have hands or anything, but you could probably figure this out. Here, let me just get you the letters.
On it, and a little compartment just opens up.
It's like tiny tools. Yes, I'll put it in the compartment. Well, now I kind of feel awkward, but Minnie, I made this special for you. It should even fit your tiny wrists, because, you know, you're younger than us.
It's perfect.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be appreciated. Where did Akemba... Oh, there you are. I thought we lost you again. So, will you accept my gesture of best friendship? Now I'm really wondering, did I jump the gun by saying we're best friends?
Akemba, I didn't really describe what Akemba looks like, because I think it's going to affect whether or not he takes his bracelet. But it's like very baggy pants, like denim, very baggy pants, kind of like cargo pants. The closest he can find to like combat boots, but it's like really like just like really thick boots that he wears. A tank top that has a red serpent that I think you'd recognize as the logo of Squad Scarlet when he used to be part of that, but he spray painted across it an X in black, so like that's there. And he has like an oversized coat, and I think by now he's set aside, but like he set aside his skateboard, which has like underside of it again the serpents, the red serpent, but now spray painted a black X across it. And he looks at this, he has an earring, kind of like a long silver earring in one ear, and a like an afro comb stuck in his hair at all times. He kind of looks at this bracelet. He looks down at his outfit and then up at the bracelet.
We're going to another world, and I would just feel like, you know, it would be really nice if we all had something that we could identify each other by.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. This is kind of like our weaponry, our artillery that we're going to be bringing into this new terrain that we're gonna have to battle in. That makes sense. Yeah, sure, I'll take it. And he'll reach out and open a hand palm up for the bracelet.
Yeah, I'll tie that on you. But like, it's not a weapon. Friendship is not a weapon.
He looks at Alaska, and there's just a look of, it's like Alaska just spoke a different language. Him, like, just stares like he's trying to interpret what they just said. Yeah. I will just turn away to look at the other Animon.
Okay, well, as soon as I get Max's for now bracelet, Animon, I think we are ready to save our friends and, like, probably save your friends.
Glamtron, at this point, does extend a little mechanical arm to drop the bracelet back in your palm and says, "Can I get an affirmative of secrecy from you?"
"Can I kiss your cute little face?"
"Affirmative."
"Yes." And I'm going to kiss one of the eyeballs.
"I will take that as my affirmative." And Borkifer is also winding around your feet, many. "Promise, promise, promise, promise."
Yeah, pinky, and like kind of like wraps it around Borkifer's tail, and like does that little like
is wagging shake. So hard, it's like basically shaking for you.
Yeah,
Max, Sorinir is just watching you.
Max is gonna nod at Sorinir.
Sorinir nods back, and Archangel looks to you, Ikemba, and says, "So, what do you think?"
Yeah, of course. No, I have to. If it's gonna help my sister, yeah. I promise.
We'll do our best to help your sister. All right. Then, let's go to the homeworld of the Anemon. After you've made your promises to your Anemon, each one produces a small item that can fit in the palm of your hand. This is an Annie tool, Glamtron says. It allows you to transport to the Anemon homeworld. Now, considering the Anemon homeworld is made of dreams, I'd like us to collectively decide what this Annie tool looks like. This is something that each Anemon has, mm-hmm. but does not always share with their human companion. And it is a part of the character creation process that I felt would be very fitting to do in the story. So does anyone have any thoughts on what this Annie tool looks like? It can be anything, more mystical, more technological.
I kind of feel like it might be reflective of the Anemon who gives it to you. So, and I feel like in some way tied in with sleep ephemera. Like, mm-hmm. I was definitely thinking for Sorinir, it would be a feather or shaped like a feather.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's like a kind of like a stone, but like with a swirl almost of images within it that you can never quite grasp and sometimes seem to slip away from you, but are ever there under the surface in the shape of a small palm-sized feather.
Yeah.
How about the rest of you? What does your Annie tool from your Anemon look like?
I think Archangel's, the one that Archangel produces for Ikemba, is they reach up to their halos, the intertwined halos that kind of circle around their head and almost reach into it, into the cross section of one's part where they never cross, and the hand almost disappears into that space and pulls out of it another halo, much smaller. I think it's a deep, like, blood red. And set it in Ikemba's palm. And when it sets in Ikemba's palm, the area of it, so from the border inwards, is almost glimmers like a screen, like you're looking at a surface of oil with the iridescence of oil. I think similar to the stone, there are images within this iridescence that you can never quite grasp. But like the moment you figure out what it is, it's changed to something else over and over again. They kind of like have that in the palm of their hand.
Perfect.
I like that vibe. I'm thinking of something personal, but we've still kind of got that statuesque rock effect. I'm going to go with I don't remember the word for these kind of bracelets, but like it's the really thick ones, chunky bracelets, they might just be called. However, this one's going to be inlaid with like oodles and oodles of brightly colored beads, like kind of like abacus style, that will clack when they're next to each other, but they're constantly changing and they will form up into a variety of images depending on how you look at them and like the angle that you see them at.
Nice. Okay. Kiana.
I'm going to break the cool vibe.
Yeah.
Real quick here. I think this is one of those squeak toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Borkifer's like, here's something that's very important to me. Squeak toy. So I think it's, I don't know. It's like it's one of those ones that look like a plush animal, but it has a, like maybe it's a plush mouse or something. But it has that little squeaker on the inside. And it just has different squeak sounds as you just press it. It's very annoying, I'm going to assume.
Love it.
I think it is fantastic. Each of you now holding your Annie tool, Archangel says, "All right, now I want you to close your palm around it." And as each of you do, you hear a "ee-hoo!" from Minnie's. And repeat after me. I beseech you, King of Beasts.
I beseech you, King of Beasts.
To take me to the land of dreams.
To take me to the land of dreams.
And each of you suddenly feel as if you are falling back. You almost wait for your head to like hit a pillow because that's the same kind of feeling that this is, as if you are falling asleep. It is comfortable, but also a little scary. It is natural, but also so strange. And as you fall, you realize you are also standing up. And surrounding you is a world entirely unlike yours. There are people moving without faces around you, bustling from table to table. This is a cafe. And you recognize Ikemba. Sitting at a single table is your sister. She has a cup of coffee, and she doesn't seem to notice you. But as you stand here in this cafe, you hear a rumbling voice, loud, filling your mind and composed of many different voices, saying,
"You are not welcome here."
And Glamtron again says, "Uh-oh."
Who is that?
Archangel says, "Yeah, that would be the King of Beasts."
Oh, are they, like, friendly?
It's been a while since I've been home.
I feel like we beseeched them to be here. If you accepted that... What's your damage, man?
Ikemba's run over to where, like, he, like, hesitates with his rumbling voice, but his focus is on his sister as he rushes over to her and kind of like, "Sis, are you okay? Is everything okay? What are you doing here?"
She does not respond. It's almost like she doesn't see you or notice you.
Tries to put his face in her line of sight, waving a hand in front of it. "Sis, how did you get here? Where's your Anemon? Are you okay? Sis."
"Drac, I would like you to make the first roll of the game."
Oh my god, I forgot. It is the first roll of the game. Wow, okay, yeah.
First official roll. I had the first unofficial roll.
Oh, that is true, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had so much story and stuff. First official roll of the game. I would like you to make a spirit roll for me, please.
Spirit roll.
Okay. So your pool of d6s will be equal to your spirit stat. And then if you feel that there is a reason, you may add to it. For example, if your talent somehow can come into play, then you may add one die to your pool. Or you could spend some bond points here in order to give yourself more of an advantage.
I will spend one bond point.
Okay, you can spend one bond point for better odds, in which case you add two dice to any roll.
Nice. Well, two dice, okay, perfect. So I'm rolling six die. And what is a success?
A success. So anything four and up will be counted as a success. So you'll roll your dice, and then you will count how many are successes. I would say the number you are trying to reach here is a three.
That's a relief, because I rolled four successes.
Right. All right. So your sister slowly starts blinking and looks up at you as her eyes fill with recognition. And she looks around and sees the rest of you, who do still have faces, and around at everyone else in this room who does not. And she starts looking instantly anxious. "Ikemba, what are we doing here? What?"
I don't know. I have no idea. You're asleep but not waking up. So I tried to figure out what was going on and I panicked. And then apparently you're in.
We came to get you out.
Yes.
I don't know how to wake up.
Where's your Anemone?
I don't know. And suddenly she starts looking around for her Anemone, as if she has suddenly realized that it should be there, and starts looking around. You can see that there is some increasing panic to her gestures. She almost knocks over the cup of coffee as she's just like moving around, trying to find her Anemone in the sea of faceless people of the cafe.
Hey, listen to me. I'm not going to let anyone take your friend away from you. Not any of these faceless people, not the King of Beasts.
The King of Beasts?
It's a new guy that I just found out about, and already I feel like we're on bad terms.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to tear it a new one.
Oh, this is a dream. This is all just a dream.
You've nailed it. I'm glad you're up to speed.
Yeah, wow.
So, if I pinch myself...
We're all gonna like watch expectantly.
Yeah.
She pinches herself and doesn't seem to go anywhere. Mm. And slowly starts to calm down a little bit more. Okay, well, if this is my dream, then there must be a way out. Some sort of way to wake up if I can achieve the goal of the dream or find my Anemone or something?
That seems reasonable.
Ikemba starts like stand up straight. I think he had like kind of going down onto his knees to be like eye level with the sitting sister. And then kind of stands up and rolls up his sleeves and goes, I think the objective is to fight the King of Beasts. Where are you hiding? And just like yell out to the space. Fight me.
No. Maybe we can like be their friend. They're probably just sad.
Drac.
Yes.
When you say fight me, every faceless figure in the room turns toward you at the same time.
Can I roll spirit myself just to be like, if I'm taken aback, if this scares me?
Oh, absolutely you may.
I think this would be spirit.
I think so too. Do you feel your talent would come into play here, or would you like to spend a bond point?
My feature, don't mess with me, would come into play actually. Great. Gain a boost whenever you attempt a test to show how tough you are, defy authority, or conceal the truth.
So,
yeah.
On a boost, any die that is 3 or above is a success.
Ooh, okay.
So you'll roll your base pool of dice, but have a greater chance of success.
Oh, that's cool. 3 successes.
Ooh.
Thanks to that type.
I did forget to say what it may be, but I think that because this is kind of an internal struggle, you manage to keep your cool.
I grit my teeth and like stare. I try to stare, like make eye contact with these things, but there are no eyes to make eye contact with. Just seeing me grit my teeth, but not budging as I stare at all of them around me.
How are the rest of you feeling?
I don't know if it's the right move, but it's the one we're making. And with that, he'll stand next to Ikemba. Don't read too much into this. And if we're going to fight, we can't fight alone.
He's going to look to Max and just smile. I remember you're pretty much this fiery back then as well. Now looks, not even looking at Max, but still making eye contact with these faceless creatures. But there is a slight smirk on his face.
I can't believe I'm standing next to anyone, let alone you.
That just makes the smirk even more.
Mini Alaska.
Well,
we're not fighters. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I think Minnie is in that space of like, okay. And we'll probably step between Max and the Kimber. Just like, yeah, I'm here now.
Just squeeze in there.
I'm here too.
So, like, I really do think we should probably try to make friends first, but if they're going to be kind of rude and they reject our friendship and they won't even wear a modified friendship bracelet, that's when you cross the line, you know? So, yeah, okay. I guess I'll fight.
All right. Each of these figures slowly dissolves to smoke where they stand. And the smoke undulates and moves and blows around you in the room. Ikemba, your sister, sits down and puts her hands over her ears, just sitting at the cafe table, saying aloud, "Wake up, wake up, wake up. It is all just a dream. Wake up!" And the smoke blows out of the room. Each of these figures is moving. You can still kind of see a humanoid shape within this movement, but it's very vague and constantly shifting. These figures are shadows, clouds, nightmares. And there are four of them surrounding you. Hey heroes, it's Renee, your host and storyteller here with a few One-Shot Network announcements. First, OSN has launched the Kickstarter for the third season of our all-ages actual play, Skyjack's Courier's Call. I love this show, and with season 3 just around the corner, now is the perfect time to check it out and support the production. Kieran, Cece, and June are reuniting once more in an all-new season of adventures in the Swiftwell Courier Service. After the events of Audrin Prom sent them to separate ships, will they be able to come together again to face the trials ahead? Listeners can help us fund production, get involved with Dear Audrin Letters and Tales from Thornvale, and fund bonuses for the cast and crew. Find the link in our show notes and check out everything that this Kickstarter has to offer. Next, the listener surveys for the One-Shot Host Audition are coming out. We'd like listeners to tell us how they feel about each of the candidates and the games that they ran. Patrons can find links to the survey on Patreon, while public feed listeners will be able to find the link at oneshotpodcast.com. Please support your favorites. Your thoughts can help us choose between all of these talented performers. And now, a word from our sponsors. Let's roll initiative.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
All right.
All right.
Oh, hell yeah.
So for our initiative, are we rolling a die for each number in the initiative or rolling a die and adding the initiative? How does that work?
This is going to be an opposed test to what I am rolling. And the initiative order is created by the number of successes in the pool you roll. So if you look at your initiative stat, you'll roll the number of dice there.
And successes.
Does anything special happen if you roll a 6 or no?
A 4 and up. If you roll a 6, there is a spot on your character sheet for critical. Please mark a little space for your critical bar.
I cool. Also rolled a 6 on one of my dice.
I rolled 2 oh, 6s. Yeah.
Nice. Oh my okay, god, everyone, look at you go.
Mark down those 6s.
What do criticals do?
Good question. We'll find out if we get there.
Oh, okay.
But I think we've got a lot of Pokemon fans here.
Yeah.
So that, may give you an idea.
Yeah.
All right. The critical gauge is 2 times the number of people playing. So once it is reached, you may use your critical. It is the number of people playing, including the GM. So it is 10.
All right.
And also, it is collective. So let's mark down. I believe it was 4.
Yeah, 4,
sixes.
Oh, 4 total.
Sweet. I got yes. one as well in my initiative.
Oh, great. 5 out of 10.
Wow, we're almost there.
Great. Yeah, we mean business. Awesome, because we will be able to include that then, potentially. Fingers crossed. Okay, so initiative order. I need to roll mine still. Does everyone else know what your initiative is?
Yep.
Yes. So we're and to correct me if I'm wrong, we're adding successes to the initiative stat, or are we just?
No. So you are just counting the number of successes that you have, and that is 4 and above. Okay, so let me mark down who is who here. Oh, also everyone else mark one more critical, please.
Wow. Oh.
Six.
And is anyone above a six for initiative? No. Great. All right. 5, 4. 3.
Yeah.
We've got 2 3s. Yeah.
And Drac. Okay. I'll let y'all decide who would like to go. Do you have a higher initiative stat? Or
I mean, it makes sense if Drac's character wants to go just because of the situation.
They did kind of provoke the fight a little bit.
I want friendship.
All right. Drac B. 2.
2 for me.
Oh, 2. I'm sorry. I'm at 2.
Would you, which of you would like
Maybe
to go
would
first?
Maybe after we go second.
Yep, makes sense.
And lastly, I rolled a 1.
Oh, wow.
1-6, but 1-1. So these horrors will be last. All right, so Drac, Archangel has been flying around, sensing your intent to fight. What would you like to do for this turn?
Right out the gate, Ikemba says, let's start this off with a bang. Archangel, Dante's Inferno. And we'll reach up make a fist and pull downwards. And one of the halos kind of comes off of the 3 or 4 halos intertwined around Archangel's head and will expand into a wide circle, large enough to completely encapsulate everyone, including us, in this space. And then another one, a smaller one, will encapsulate just our group. So it's almost like a protective bubble. And in the perimeter between the larger and the smaller halos, the area we're in completely changes landscape. And it becomes like volcanic red rock. You see bursts of lava and magma coming out of the ground. Oppressive smoke coming from up top, just intense heat. Even in our space that we're protected in, we feel this. And yeah, I'm gonna make an attack, which I believe is a power.
Looks like
yes.
It.
So it depends on the type of attack you would like to do. Okay. You could make an argument for any of these stats being used in this case. So, for example, since it is an illusion that is causing damage, you could make an argument for, say, brains. Or you could argue that this is focusing on the power and impact of the explosion. So in that case, power.
I think power and brains for me are the same anyway. I'll go with brains because of the explanation. Like, it's a mirage and feel it's so realistic that they actually do take damage from this.
I love it. So you will be rolling that pool of dice against my dodge. And also because you're using your signature attack, which is rank 1, you will get an additional die to this pool.
Oh, perfect. I rolled another 6.
So, woohoo!
And that is 4 successes.
Wow.
And
great.
Because it's explosive, the main target is whoever nightmare creature is right in front of me, they're going to take 6 points of damage. And I believe, let me just make sure I'm reading this right, for every other creature around that target takes half that damage, takes 3 as well.
So remind me what your successes were on your attack roll.
4. I rolled a 4, 4, 5, and a 6.
So that base damage will apply to, and you said it was it multiple targets? Sorry.
Yeah, so because of the explosive effect.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
When you choose to make an impressive attack, if it hits, you deal half damage. Oh, okay, no, I deal half damage to the main target. I also deal damage equal to my level to all enemies standing next to the target. So 3 damage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is base damage actually plus the difference between your attack roll and my dodge roll, which was not great. I did get a 1 on that. So that is
6.
You said it was 5 damage initially?
It would have been 3, but because the difference is 3 as well, I think 6 then.
6, okay. Yeah. So you'll deal 3 then to your main target.
Yeah.
As well as 1 to each of the other enemies here.
Yeah, as you see these eruptions of what you probably assume Ikemba thinks is hell as they drag these creatures down there. And then it dissipates as the halos return to the head of Arcane.
What is Akimba's like vision of hell based on? Is there like a movie that you saw or something that like informed it? I'm just so curious.
Yeah, I think because he named it like Dante's Inferno, I think it's probably like he is from what he imagined when he like, I don't think he read anything about this. I think he kind of heard it through osmosis of like vaguely listening in like English class or something like that.
Could I suggest that maybe there was some cross contamination between Dante from Devil May Cry as well?
I think there's definitely Devil May Cry demons in there.
Patchwork demons.
Yeah, for sure. You can see them like flying around in the background.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, next up we have B.
Okay, again, as stated, so like Alaska's kind of like pulled back a little bit. They're like, Glamtron, don't do anything that like is too dangerous, but also we have to protect our friends. So like, can I use heart to like protect our ally Anemon when attacked? Because it says use heart to attack when you purposely put yourself in danger.
So I like this idea. Let's go ahead and do a basic roll and say that you can mitigate some of that damage. Let's do half.
So I'm going to roll my stat plus, I mean, I want to use my quality of metal plating in this instance.
Oh, I like that.
Because I'm not going to be able to use my signature attack.
What is your argument for using the stat?
Heart, because like, it's just like, we don't want to fight. We just want to defend. We want to keep everybody safe. This is truly like, it's given like heart of the cards, you know? It's just like, we want to do it to protect everybody.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, go for heart plus any other additions to your dice pool that you could
make. Okay, yeah, it'll just be my quality of hard plating. And that's a disappointing one success with 1-6.
Okay.
We're climbing up with those sixes.
Yep, everyone mark down that 6. Then if you could roll, we're breaking the game a little bit and I love it, so we're gonna keep rolling with it. But since half of your successes on that roll is 1, mm-hmm. You will be able to mitigate 1 damage from each of your teammates. How does that sound?
Perfect. Just set up like little tiny walls, little barriers based off of their metal plating, which I guess they can extend, and that's kind of modular.
Okay, I like it. All right, next up is James.
Yeah, I think he's just going to back up Akimba and go, Sorinir, go attack these nightmares. And I think I'm going to hold off on the signature attack. And can you just have your Anemon attack without using their signature attack?
Yes, absolutely. You just don't get to add the signature attack to your pool.
All right. And once again, I'm rolling power, correct?
If you would like to use power to attack, yes.
Okay. I think, yeah, Sorinir just like flies forward and will, you know, sort of cranes like dominance fighting, will like rear back and attack with its talons. Roll. Okay, I got 2 successes and 1 of them a 6.
Okay. We're really climbing those up. We only need one short. That sounds funny.
One short, right?
Oh, I guess actually, I'm sorry, 4s count as successes too, correct?
4s do count as successes.
So that is 3 successes.
Woo-hoo! Nice. Okay. Then we don't tie. So that is a single success above my dodge. So you do get a base of your damage plus the difference between your attack and my dodge, which I think is just going to come out to 1 here.
So overall, that is 9 light damage.
And which of these do you attack? Jack has damaged 1, but there are 3 with lesser damage.
I think it's one of the 3 with lesser damage. We're dividing and conquering here.
Great, and that's 9.
Mm-hmm.
Does it do like extra because it's a weakness?
Oh, that's an excellent question. But that is true, yes. So actually, right, types. So this is in fact very intuitive, a dark type Anemon. And so Sorinir, as a light Pokemon will have a boost to matchup, meaning anything that is three and up will count. Do you have any threes, James?
Oh, I don't have any threes.
Okay. So a slight miss, but definitely a good catch because Sorinir is pretty strong in this fight, honestly. All right, Minnie, Kiana.
Minnie's gonna pat Borgrefear on the butt. And Borgrefear is gonna jump into action and is going to immediately use Believe in the Me That Believes in You, which does power transfer.
Okay.
So basically, I can use this action to give the boosted condition to a number of nearby characters equal to my max signature attack usage, which is three. So everybody gets a boost for their rolls for one turn, which means that your success is at a three and up rather than a four and up.
Amazing. Okay.
Do you just like bark at us a bunch?
Yeah, what does it look like?
Absolutely. Borgrefear, I think, jumped onto the amidst everyone else and like does like a big like, you know how dogs like to herd people that they're like, mm-hmm. it's like a big herd around. And probably just say, "You got this," over and over again. Just the little zoomy circle.
Okay. Well, initially, these horrors will all go as well. Each of them moves suddenly, quickly towards each of you. I will say the first one. If you could, Drac, roll me dodge.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have my arc angle has no quality counterattack.
Okay.
How could I apply this in combat, I guess?
Great question. So I think you are going to be attacked now. I think, let's say, if it hits, so for instance, if your Animon would take damage, first of all, it would be slightly mitigated thanks to Glamtron. But if not all of it is mitigated, then you would take damage and the counterattack would then allow you to roll an attack.
Okay.
Against this opponent. I would say you do have to take damage in order for it to apply.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that seem fair?
No, that seems perfect. That's why I figured as much. So I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, I'm going to try and dodge. The dodge is not great anyway.
Okay.
Oh, another two sixes.
Hey, is that crit for us? Are we doing like a critical thing?
That is a critical. Oh, so for a critical, y'all have the opportunity to use this as you so choose. There is the critical combo attack. For instance, the player who triggers this could use this as a critical move for your action and use it in this combat encounter for an improvement. You could also use it as a critical success. As a player, you may choose to automatically pass a test without rolling. Or critical threat. Unfortunately, the critical evolution does not apply today because we are not evolving our Pokemon Animon. We're not evolving our Animon. The critical threat would be that all PCs have their bond points fully restored. I believe the only person who has used a bond point so far, though, is Drac.
Yeah. Okay.
So I will say you could potentially apply this critical to the attack if this is triggered and the rest of the group would like to allow that.
Do it.
Okay.
Yeah, go
okay.
For it.
So how many dodge did you get again?
Two.
Okay. So I did get three. So this Animon is suddenly in your face and its face is shifting at a rapid pace. Just going from face to face, people you recognize, your sister, your teacher, the school bus driver. And it is so quickly moving, Alaska, Minerva, Max, classmates, and it is in your face so close to you that you take two damage.
Ooh, okay. And is that bumped down to one or is that already reduced thanks to...
So it would be bumped down to one.
Okay.
And this is your Animon, sorry. This is Arc Angle.
Yeah.
Though I do think there is one looming in your face. It's like it feels like it's you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even though it is not as close to you. And there are just like shadows
lurking around. I will also say this makes Archangel disoriented, which does unfortunately apply a setback to any roll that is an attack roll.
Yeah, disoriented. Okay, and then with this thing so close up, right in its in Archangel's face and by proxy mine, I am going to counterattack. And if I make this counterattack a critical, what does that do to damage? Does that affect damage in our adoptions?
So if you make this attack a critical, the target's dodge roll will be made with one setback, ignoring all other setback and boost, but the successful attack does deal damage as usual.
Okay. As it gets right up close, I kind of stumble backwards, so does Archangel, and I yell, "That's where you made a mistake. Archangel, Haloan Horns!" And they're gonna just do a normal attack they've named Haloan Horns as they grab their halos. One remains the circle, circular halo, the other one kind of cracks in half. So they become two amazing glowing horns. We'll lunge at this creature with my counterattack ability.
Great. And you do get to also add one more die to this pool because this critical is acting as if it were a free signature attack.
Ooh, perfect. And because I have the quality counterattack rank one, does that add one as well? Or
yes. Okay. So you would get one for counterattack and one for this acting like a signature attack. It is set back, but because Mini boosted you, it cancels out. So this is just normal successes four and up.
Awesome. Come on. Come on, Archangel.
You got it.
I rolled another six. Three successes.
Okay. Wow. I'll roll a dodge with the setback. So I don't have high expectations. I did get a six. We are starting over the critical counter because Drac has just used what we have accumulated, and that is one success. So your damage plus the difference between the two, please, Drac.
There's two. Okay. So you see, like, this elegant is kind of weird. The only thing smooth about this Anemone is their face. Everything else are, like, angular features and the halos above their head. They have them in their hands, like, almost like brass knuckles, and just start punching into this nightmare and deals eight damage.
Eight damage. Are you going for the one that you wounded most before or one of the others?
The one that like came into my face specifically.
Great.
That one.
That's eight damage.
Yeah.
Hoo-wee! This one is hurting. All right. Next up, another attack. This one is just a normal attack for them, but is very aggressive. So they do get 3d6. That is 1 6, but also one success against Alaska. So if you could roll me dodge, please.
Oh yes, I think I put very few points into, but I have a boost. Does it count towards
the
dodge?
You do have a boost. Yeah, okay. Yes.
That's two successes. The three and a six.
Yeah, and I click already again.
Yeah,
okay.
You
yeah.
Totally able to dodge. We are now at three sixes for our critical, so if you could keep track of that as well. This misses, or you are able to avoid it, Glamtron. How does Glamtron dodge Alaska?
It's a pretty slow thing. I think like they were just kind of already rotating to like a different direction, and it was more happenstance that the nightmarish figure was just, it just missed. You know, Glamtron was trying to roll over to go see what Borkifer was up to, see if they needed any help, and it was just perfectly timed.
An almost unintentional dodge here. Great. And next up, we have similarly, this one is coming for you, James.
All right.
Could you please roll me a dodge?
Did Max not destroy that nightmare with 9 damage?
Not quite.
Oh, heck.
Wow. Yeah, they're strong.
Cool.
Oh, not a good roll. No successes.
Oh, no.
Even with your boost?
No successes. That's true. You do have the boost from Mini still.
Continue? Yep.
It
goes for one turn.
Yeah, I rolled two twos and a one, so unfortunately.
Oh. No. Ouch. Okay, so yes, you are going to take... I'm sorry for this. That was a very poor roll. 7 damage.
Oh, well, that's okay. Sorinir is tough, but what does a big hit look like?
Yeah, so these pillars of smoke, these arms swirling around the room, all suddenly like launch at Sorinir, just billowing quickly and pointedly, and just clash. There's a quick blast of light as they do move. And fortunately, these are all successes, even with the setback from the type discrepancy here. Oh, it's just really wild rolls, y'all. And there's this burst of light and shadow all at once that just kind of splashes around the entire room, and then it is gone, and Sorinir just looks a little weaker.
Sorinir!
Next up, we have Minnie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you roll me a dodge, please?
Yes, 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 I can.
I have good news for you.
Great. I love that for me. I'm also really good at dodging, so.
You don't even have to roll.
I've got 4 successes and 1 6, so.
1 6? Yes. Yep, those 6s still matter. That is the only reason you would. Yep. So the 6s matter, but regardless, this attack was not going to hit you. Though, why is that? I think there's, like, these shadows are a little bit confused by the light flash that just happened upon attacking Sorinir. But what do you do to dodge?
Oh yeah, Borgifer is very fast. Has the zoomies right now. Has just done the boost spin around everybody, and I think just like whoop, just jumps over the attack.
Wow.
And kind of just like turns around. Like, this is a great game. This is fun.
Okay, very nice. And next up we have top of the round, Drac.
Yes. As Ankh Angor has essentially become a boxer, as they have this cracked halo in their hand in the form of horns and a fuller one in the other, punching into this nightmare, Ikemba just yells, "Show him what you got! Halo and horns!" And again, Ankh Angor will go for these close-range punches with their...
Great. Okay. Roll me for that attack.
I'm trying to see if anything can add to this. I don't think so. I will use a bond point helps here, right? I can use a bond point to add 2 dice.
You can.
I'm going to spend...
You absolutely can.
So I think what happened is that as I see Ankh Angor laying into this nightmare, I kind of look over my shoulder. Do I still see my sister kind of like freaking out? Or is that just been dispersed as well?
I would say she is freaking out, but like internally, not at what is going on around her so much as she seems very intense on like concentrating to wake up.
Yeah. So I think looking back, I see my sister. I think I can tell. I've been around my sister. I can tell when she's stressed out, and I can see that on her face at the very least. And that's hardens my resolve to get her out of here.
Okay.
Another 6.
Great.
4 successes.
Woo, 4 successes!
Wow. Yeah.
So that is your damage, +3, since I only rolled 1 success on my dodge.
Oh, as they lay in, that's going to be 9 points of damage in the same one that you punched earlier. 9 points of damage into that.
Awesome. All right, that Anemon disappears. As if Archangel's punches just kind of pushed through it, and the smoke just dispersed around its fist.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: Dreaming by Solo, Illusions by Colossus, and Game Boy by Ender. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
Well, that's a wrap for this week, heroes. I have been Renee Rhodes, and this has been part 3 of Anemon's story and my audition adventure for the One Shot podcast host. We'll be back with the conclusion to our One Shot, but first, a call to action for you heroes. This week, I have a small but important ask. Look up the candidates for your local elections this fall. Yes, candidates for gubernatorial and state legislative positions, but also your mayoral, city council, and other local office elections. Learn about the person behind the name on your neighbor's yard sign, their politics, their history, news about them, their promises. Use what you learn to engage with others in the months leading up to the election, and vote in November for the progressive candidates who will affect positive local change. Then, follow up by holding them accountable while they're in office. Thanks, heroes. Also, check out the show notes for links to the game we played, as well as the cast's socials and other projects. Like, Drac has a Kickstarter project for an actual play production. Go support them!
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.
Welcome to Character Creation Cast, a show where we create and discuss characters, the best part of role-playing games, with guests using their favorite systems. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter.
And I'm your other host, Amelia Antrim. Join us as we sit down with game designers, podcasters, and fans of games as we dive into learning about different RPGs through the lens of character creation. It's a combination of character building, player advice, game design insights, and even a little bit of fan fiction for a different game every month. We tackle a variety of new and old games, both well-known and indie-produced titles.
We learn how creating characters can tell us a lot about the games themselves. Check us out today anywhere you can get podcasts or on the One Shot Podcast Network at oneshotpodcast.com.